In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Please do be seated. So this is the first of our short talks this morning. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Some of you will remember a song, I think from the late 80s, maybe 1990s. It is the most depressing first verse of any hymn that has ever been written. Guaranteed. Listen to it. You'll recognize it, some of you. Great is the darkness that covers the earth, oppression, injustice, and pain. Nations are slipping in hopeless despair, though many have come in your name. Watching while sanity dies, touched by the madness and lies. We don't write many hymns like that. And it is an opening verse to a hymn. It's pretty full on. But it does ring true, doesn't it? It rings true for the world in which we live. We recognize that in our own lives, our own experience, in the news that we watch, whether local, national, or international. And yet, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I was trying to think of what that looks like as an illustration. If you've ever been to Chirk Castle, you'll recognize the strength of the walls of Chirk Castle. You can run at those as hard as you like and put your shoulder to them, but you will not overcome the walls of Chirk Castle. So that verse of that hymn and that what we know about our world can be as weighty and as heavy as you like, but the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you know how Jose Mourinho organises his football teams, it's like when he parks the bus, and he's got all his defence lined up, and nobody can score against him. Anybody want to come and play football with the vicar, just to illustrate that? Fine, that's fine. But it would be like that. You would not be able to get past me. It would be impossible. However good you were at football, you would not overcome this defence. Maybe. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. So there's two dangers for us. One is that as we look at the world, we just turn a blind eye to it and we play pretend. The world's not really like that. Or the second danger is that we look at the world and we recognize it for what it is and we despair and we give up hope. Well, verse 5 says you can look at the world full square in all its oppression, injustice, and pain, in its dying sanity, in its madness and lies. You can look full square at the darkness and have hope. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So, first point, be encouraged that whatever the realities of life, the light has not been overcome. Now, if you're using the sheet, you'll see that the picture at this point is... I've lost them all. Where are they? The picture at this point is a set of loud hailers, which you can colour in if you've got pens and things. Why loudhailers? Because behind everything, above and over everything, is the God who made everything by speaking. So everything down here is under him. The darkness cannot overcome the light. So this God who speaks creation into being is before anything. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He's before everything. He made everything. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And he gives life. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness has not overcome it. So knowing this light, knowing this God, is what makes sense of all our experience now. It's what will help us to have everything in its proper place, even when we bump into darkness. He has not, is not, and will not be overcome by darkness. His creative ruling word still stands behind and over everything. Whatever it looks like, the one speaking through the loud hailer still rules. Remarkably, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus is the one who is that light that cannot be overcome, who's ruling over all things. So however dark the world seems, the light will never be overcome. Here are some verses from John 3. Verse 19, for God so loved the world that he gave, I could start from there, it's not a bad verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So where is evil found? This used to happen to my sister more than me, but as a teenager, it'd be about 7 o'clock in the morning, she had to get up, and so my dad would walk in, turn the light on, open the curtains, and it just looked like my sister had a real fear of light because it was back under the duvet hiding from the light. She loved darkness. And that's Jesus' verdict on humanity. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world in the Lord Jesus, the Word made flesh, the one from before all things. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Right, I do definitely need a volunteer this time, but you don't have to have any sporting ability. You just have to be, yeah, if you like. Come on then. It might be easy if you just sort of sit cross-legged on the floor. Yeah, just sit. I'd sit on the wood, it's a bit warmer. Not much, but a bit. Right, here's Tamsin. She's loving the darkness. There she is. Bless her. Now here's the verdict from Jesus. Here's someone who loves the darkness and does evil. So we've got no idea what Tamsin's getting up to under there, because it's all hidden away. Hiding. That's what Jesus says we do. When his bright light has come into the world, men, people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil, there's a bit of movement under there, there must be some evil going on. Whoever does evil hates the light, doesn't want the light, and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. We know that we've got something to hide rather than opening up to the light. And so we love the darkness. We love to be under the blanket. So where is evil found, this darkness in the world? Well, in large part, it's found in our own hearts. We love the darkness. But, verse 21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly whatever they've done has been done in the sight of God. So, Tamsin, this is your freedom from darkness into light. You can stand up for this bit. Thanks. Here is someone who now, the blanket is, the darkness is thrown off, and she stands in the light of the Lord Jesus. So something in her heart has been changed. The blanket is off. Now everything is done in the open, in the sight of God, because there's nothing to hide anymore. And so Tamsin now loves the light and loves the good rather than the darkness because of evil deeds. Great. Thanks, Tamsin. You may sit down. But I've got a few more blankets, and in a moment I'm going to need a lot more of you. Okay, so it's not too bad. You can help me out. There's Jesus' verdict of what we naturally love in our hearts, even though the light has come. But if we live by the truth, that comes off and we walk in the light. And so we come back to that verse which we started the service with, chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, get this, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, that creative life, that eternal life that came from the one who was before the beginning, if you can say that. Permanent for those who follow Jesus. So the Christian life is not a case of a blanket coming on and getting off and on and off and on and off. Those who follow me, Jesus says, will never walk in darkness. Something has objectively changed in our hearts before God when we follow Jesus. When we, as we sang, when we love him, when we trust him, and when we obey what he has to say. Never in darkness, united to our Creator, who's always stood over the darkness and is never overcome by it. By coming to him and into his light, we cannot be overcome by darkness any more than he can, because we belong to him. Darkness will not overcome the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ overcomes our darkness and our love of it. So on the sheet, you might have been looking at this and thinking, well, what on earth is a cross? That's the picture for the second one. What on earth is a cross Because surely I should have just put some spotlight or torch or something. Jesus is the light of the world. But there's a cross. Why do you think there's a cross at this point? Not rhetorical. You're a big class, but when I was a teacher, I used to pick on people. Why do you think there's a cross at this point? Sarah. Thank you very much. So we're guilty for the evil we've done under the blanket, even though we were trying to hide it. Jesus' coming death, we're early in the gospel here, but as he comes to the cross and dies, all that evil that we've loved and has driven us, he bore for us away so that he sets us free to walk in the light. So the reason that Jesus is able to say, you will never walk in darkness, is because he has so completely saved us from our sins and made us his own. So the cross is completely appropriate. That the cross is the brightest light in the universe that God has spoken to our world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, whoever loves me, trusts me and obeys my word will never walk in darkness. They will have the light of life, but only through the cross of the Lord Jesus. It was dark for 3 hours when Jesus died. One way of thinking about that is that he overcame the darkness for us as he died and rose again. So Jill's about to make it back to the piano. Two things to do, therefore. In the light of that, we need to own up to Jesus' verdict of who we naturally are. That we confess we are people who are in the light, but we confess that we find a draw towards the darkness. We sometimes call it temptation. We sometimes go beyond that and do evil deeds, even though we're children of light. So we confess that, and then we'll rejoice in a mighty Savior who's not only able to take away our sins and forgive us, but to change our heart within by his Spirit. So let's firstly confess and own up, and then fully assured we'll celebrate the gospel together as we say, Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who died for us, forgive what we have been, help us to amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have told us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Increase our faith in his salvation, and strengthen us by your Spirit to walk in his steps. Amen. So, darkness has not overcome the light of God. The light in the Lord Jesus has overcome our own darkness, but we still live in and around darkness all the time. That's wrong. We don't live in darkness, Jesus said. We live around darkness all the time, not in it. We don't belong to it anymore. But it is the world in which we live. Now, this is where I need lots of volunteers, because I need some people to be in the dark under blankets, and I need some people in the light. So just, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are, I just need more than nobody. Great. Right. So you can choose. You can choose to be in the light, or you can choose to be under a blanket. What do you want? Who wants a blanket? I got loads. Okay, well, there's one on the floor there. But if you sit down over there for blanket, I'll sort the blanket out in a minute. You just sit down over there. Nobody wants to walk in the light. There's a sign of the times. Would you like to be in the light with me, brother? Excellent, great. So we're gonna. Can you just like put that over them? Put that over them, especially the curate. And you, I got some more here. Got some more here. You good there? Okay. Now, I'm sure. Rex, are you coming to the light? Well done, mate. Do you want to come in? Oh, he's going to get his light. That's not quite how it works, but okay. But it's a good idea. That's a good idea. Right, here's some more. There you go. That's a nice heavy one. He's fine. He's fine. He can do whatever he wants. Dewey, are you coming? You going to walk in the light or be in the dark? Now, I'm sure there's no bad behaviour going on, hidden away, in the dark, under those blankets. You're fine, that's fine. Don't worry, just let him potter around, it's fine. Right, there is a point to this. So, this is gospel ministry going on before your eyes. Brilliant. Right, we'll just... Brilliant. Excellent. That's all good. Right, let's try and get back to things, shall we? So the easiest way to do this is probably if we're the people in the light, okay, and these are the people in the dark. Okay, so we could, couldn't we, as people who've... will never walk in darkness, those who've trusted in Jesus and belong to him, we could just like forget all that. We can just leave that behind, couldn't we? That's one thing we could do. We could just ignore it and leave them to it, whatever's going on under there. That's one thing we could do. There have been traditions of Christians who've tried to do that, to just leave the world. But Paul, in those verses, says there's something else that happens. Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. So what's this ministry that we have? Whatever it is, he says, we don't lose heart. Rather, we've renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, and here's the ministry, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. So Paul says, if you're someone who walks in the light, and for this illustration, well, we are, if you're someone who walks in the light, then the thing that we're to do when we're surrounded by darkness all around in the world, and we experience it, and we bump into it all the time, the thing we're to do is to set forth the word of God plainly to them. Now, this has limitations, this illustration. So, there you are, with the word of God, to the world, in a nice friendly way, not just like yelling at the world. We'll come to that in a moment. But that's the ministry that people in the light have towards the darkness. That's what we're supposed to do when we're in this world. So that's why, if you're half the colourers half the whatever they are, people who colour in, half of them are down here. But you can see it's a loud hailer again. And again, you could have thought, well, we could have just had a torch or a flashlight, but no, because it's the speaking of the word of God into the darkness. He's fine. just let them do what they want. It's that, have you given up speaking? You put your Bible on the floor. Pick your Bible up. You've got to keep speaking. We can't. This is a 24/7 job for Christians. It's speaking the gospel into the darkness. So, verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. Do you see there the light of the gospel? Spoken to this darkness, but the darkness doesn't understand it, doesn't believe it, because more's needed. The reason they're still under the blankets is partly because James has been really helpful in keeping them organized, but they're still under the blanket because darkness reigns. They love darkness. They do evil and they hide away when they do it. That's what the world does. Jesus told us. That's his verdict. That's why their darkness still rules. But as Jesus is proclaimed, as the light is proclaimed, as the word who was in the beginning is spoken, God removes the blanket. The means by which God rescued us into the light and can rescue these youngsters into the light is by the speaking of God's word to them, which is what we do. So, the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Great. So the gospel has been spoken. The darkness has gone. Do you want to stay here for a while?
Yeah.
Okay. You stay here for a while then. Yeah. There's no need to go back to your seats or anything. So you can just stay there for a short while. Now, I know there are pictures of loud hailers, which might give the bad impression of just shouting the gospel at people. But people who live in the darkness, they're our neighbours, they're some of our family, they're our colleagues at work, they're our friends. We might be married to somebody who's still in the darkness. But what these words tell us is, in the gospel, there is a message, something to be spoken, in all the in and outs of those relationships, through which God, by his power, rescues people from darkness to light. And so the process goes on to the next generation. These youngsters will be in the light, they'll be my age one day, and they'll still have the gospel to speak to a world that's shrouded in darkness. What it means, brothers and sisters, is that we should have a real confidence to say what we know about Jesus to other people. Now, some of us know a bit more, some of us know a bit less, but we all know something, and something that's true. And that honest communication of what we know, we can't say what we don't know, but we can say what we do know. That honest communication in meaningful relationships with people who are still shrouded in darkness is the place where God makes his light shine so that people are rescued from darkness to light. So a real confidence we should have. I know we fear it, and we perhaps don't do it, and we worry about all sorts of things, but we can have a real confidence that whatever we know about Jesus, if we say it, that's how God brings light. And that's our ministry. And because of that, we don't lose heart. We set forth the truth of God plainly. Great. Well, youngsters, you still stay there, because Mark and Alison are going to come and lead us in our prayers together. And we're going to pray to God together. So we're thinking about the words that Mark and Alison are saying, they're leading us, and we're saying those same words in our hearts to God together. Great. There's the light of the gospel in there. I can see it. Right. Good. Well done, youngsters. If I know some of the youngsters they've gone back to the light, which is a good thing. But if you want to have a closer look at what happens at this table when we do the bread and wine, then do come and gather around the table, and you'll see that I do certain things at the table, and that might go in your question mark column at the end. What's that all about? Okay? Or you might be able to work it out by watching. So if you want to see closer, then just in a moment we'll gather around. But first, we just need to think about the final verses we're looking at this morning. Chapter 12 of John's Gospel. Then Jesus, this is verse 44, then Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." So darkness has not overcome the light. Light has overcome our darkness. The gospel of Jesus is God's message to overcome the darkness of the world. And living in the light is communion with the Father. Okay. Living in the light is communion with the Father. So if you're colouring in the sheet, you'll see it's two hands woven together, holding each other's hands. So to illustrate this, I need Jill. So, yeah. does anybody know anything about us? Anything? Do you know anything about us? What can you say? Yeah? Very good. That is the right answer. First one out of the bag. We are married. Now, to be married means to be a union of two people. So we are a union of two people united, glued together. The Bible even says made one. Union. Okay, now, if I sort of sidle off over here, if I decide, I need to just come over to this table, look at one of these, am I still married to Jill? I am, aren't I? And if Jill sidles off over there, you know, she's got to get some music for the piano and stuff. Are we still a union? Yes, we're still married. But there's more to union than that, because union is the basis for communion. Okay, I'm teaching you a complicated word here. Union is the basis for communion. So, Jill, come back over here. Because as two people who are united, we have things like conversations, and we share life together. And we eat and we seek each other's, we listen to one another and seek each other's wisdom. There's a living of life together. Now that's based on our union. It's expressed as communion. We even sometimes kiss. Communion. So that's the difference between union and communion. A union is fixed. It doesn't matter whether I'm over there or Jill's over there. The union remains objectively intact. Communion is a living response to that union. Right. Jill, thank you very much. Sorry to inflict that on you. So, Jesus is just introducing the idea here that by coming into his light, we enter communion with God. That is to say, yes, once we're out of the darkness, we'll never walk in darkness again. We are in the light. We do belong to Jesus. That union is fixed. But what about the communion? The life together, the conversation with God, the experience of being a child of God, that fixed union because of Jesus and his work and God making light shine in our hearts, that fixed union, but that living communion. So every Christian service, the whole of a Christian service, and this table is communion. It's not just union, where we might not be interacting at all, but we remain in that relationship. No, it's not just union. It's based on union, but it is communion. The old theologians in the 17th century called it enjoying God. That's communion. It's all brought about by Jesus, the light of the world, who rescued us from darkness and overcame darkness for us by his death on the cross. So we particularly remember his death at Holy Communion. But this table is possible because of union, light in the light of Christ. But this table, at this table, we enjoy communion with the Father. Darkness has not overcome light. Light has overcome our darkness. The gospel of Jesus is God's message to overcome darkness. And living in the light is communion with the Father.